Now, unless you know this culture of Holland, you may misunderstand why somebody takes so much time to answer a question in the affirmative. Why the answer, first answer is why no? It can be misunderstood. Now, I don't know whether this is a correct description of Holland or not, but somebody told me that this is the character of the culture of Holland. I may be wrong. I'm only telling you an example as to why, if it is so, should be understood. In England, for example, I know that there is one sentence which is clinching in argument. If you can argue ultimately and come to the ultimate point where conviction is to be generated, you should say it pays. It pays. You can argue anything at length. The final conviction will come when you can end with the statement it pays, and you can show it, look, it pays. Argument is complete. So we can collect stories of these three themes from Eastern and Western culture, but which can also give themes of cultures, basic themes of cultures, if possible. Not that you should be absolutely rigid about it. I would very much like, first of all, good stories from Ramayana and Mahabharata as far as Indian culture is concerned. I would very much like the stories from Iliad, Odyssey, Greek mythology, some very good stories. If you can put them side by side, I would like to bring out the first volume only on this. And many other stories, for example, the Vedic cycle. The Vedic cycle of Indian culture was devoted to the search of immortality. And the story of Savitri, for example, refers to that particular cycle, where the entire thrust of the whole story is search of immortality. It's a search of conquest over death. In fact, I would like very much that the series would start with the story of Savitri, as told in Mahabharata. It's a story of Vedic cycle, a brief story, and I would like to end the whole series of vital education at the end with Savitri, as expounded by Sri Aurobindo. This is how I conceived. What is at the beginning is also the last. We begin our stories telling from Savitri, as told in Mahabharata, and end with the story of Savitri as told by Sri Aurobindo. This is the first and the last, as it were. This is my first draft thinking I'm just putting before you. There can be four or five volumes of stories. We can have a story of Draupadi, for example, the story of Damayanti and Nala. These are special stories of Indian culture. Many of you may not know these stories at all, but they are very, very interesting stories. They tell you what life is. If you read the story of Nala and Damayanti, the entire gamut of human life is described through this story. The stories of normal experience, stories of occult experience, supernormal experience, stories of the action of man, action of gods, the vicissitudes of human life, from rise to fall and fall to rise, the entire vision of Indian life is portrayed in one story, Nal and Damayanti. Therefore I give a great importance to this story, Nal and Damayanti. In one story, this Indian vision of human life is described. I am told that Sri Aurobindo, if somebody wanted to learn Sanskrit, used to recommend Mahabharata's account of Nal and Damayanti. If one wants to learn Sanskrit very easily, he used to recommend the story of Nal and Damayanti as told in Mahabharata in Sanskrit. It's very well told and very easily told. If you have learned a little bit of Sanskrit, you can go into this story much more easily. Similarly, Iliad, most of you know better than I do, has many interesting stories in Iliad. Odyssey also has got many interesting stories. Stories of heroism, even the stories of harmony, although mostly they are stories of war, but their main thrust very often is of harmony. So I would very much like stories from Ramayana, Mahabharata, and the stories from Iliad and Odyssey particularly. The first volume should contain stories of this kind, so that children who read or teachers who read get into the heart of the Western Indian culture quite well. And there are many stories. For example, in the middle I want to put only four stories from Shakespeare. I consider four stories of as told by Shakespeare extremely important for vital education. So that if you read these four stories, the vital being is purified. The vital being is a catharsis of the vital being. The story of Hamlet, the story of Othello, the story of Macbeth, and the story of King Lear. So, these four stories, Hamlet is a story of an intellectual man who has not been able to arrive at a conclusion and remains a state of doubt how tragedy overtakes him, and gives you a catharsis actually as to how not to allow doubt to prevail upon you. If you are intellectual, it is good. Intellectual people always remain doubtful for a long time. Skepticism is a normal characteristic of an intellectual personality. But if you remain only in that field, then the vital being overtakes you ultimately, and intellect is not able to illumine you, and therefore ultimately it results in a tragedy. And when you read the whole drama, you find a Hamlet in each one of us in some way or the other at a certain stage of our life, and then we become illuminated. Well, I should not live like Hamlet. Macbeth is a personality of a purely ambitious personality, which is overtaken by a tragedy. Othello is a story of a true lover, overtaken by doubt, jealousy. Ultimately, he kills his own wife, whom he loved most dearly. And ultimately, when he finds the truth, he kills himself. When you read the story, the lesson goes home. Let us not be jealous. Jealousy is overcome through this very story itself. When you read the story, it's a tremendous cultural catharsis that occurs in our consciousness. This can happen when you are jealous, when you begin to doubt. Your doubt may be completely unfounded. We become much wiser, much better.